Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hey guys, it's Jack and Miles. Just checking in to let you know what you're about to hear. Not a standard episode of the show. These are our year-end, year-end review, and holiday-themed episodes. So if you're new to the show, you can check back in the catalog for what the normal episodes sound like. And you can listen to this for our thoughts on the year. And we're back beginning of January with all new episodes. And I can't wait to talk to y'all then. Bye. Hello, the internet, and welcome to this very special year-end edition of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. O'Brien's me, O'Brien's me. How lovely are your haunches? That's something I just made up, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles, have yourself a wonderful Christmas, Gray. Whatever that is. People hate that song, but I fuck with it, because it's so bad. It's like Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And the thing, I think also the delay, that shit also I vibe with just from a production standpoint.
So yeah, it's definitely like one of the more unique sounding Christmas songs.
I think
it's
just
got a whole different vibe to it.
Sleigh bells that they're allowing themselves the license to say it's a Christmas song.
Yeah, and also they stay pretty on message with the lyrics.
Yeah, that's true.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas.
Oh, it's about Christmas? Okay. That is one of those anti-war anthems McCartney
has. Hey, who's that saying back there?
Who's that?
Oh, you know, in my room. Our special guest, Mr. DJ Dano.
What up, what up? Dano, the red nose gamer. Holler at your boy.
How are those blood vessels doing on your nose? Are those healing?
Not great. I went to the doctor and he said, you need to come back tomorrow.
On the gin, my friend.
You need to come back yesterday.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our fourth seat by the hilarious, the talented Soups produce, Anna Hosnier!
Welcome to Ann Rock.
Hi.
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 Hi. Oh, what a time.
What a time to be alive, guys. So this is the episode where we just look back at the stories that we missed this year. I feel like we didn't miss that many stories because
we
do
every story.
Isn't our
job
not to miss anything?
Daily podcast.
We missed so many.
We did. But we're going to do a, you know, just as a way of approaching it. What were some stories that were overrated this year that maybe even we spent too much time and attention on? And what were some stories that were underrated this year? But first, I want to start with stories that I can't believe happened this year.
Okay.
Just because of the... So that Oscars where Parasite won all the Oscars and Joaquin Phoenix won an Oscar and gave a speech about how we take baby cows away from their mothers. That happened this year. That feels to me like 20 years ago.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
What a time.
When did the Oscars... They were like right before we had to shut it all down, right?
It's like, is it end of February?
Wait, I'm doing some fact-checking, Jack, and that was actually 6 years ago.
Oh, fuck.
So, sorry, but you're incorrect. Let's remove Jack from the show. He's clearly spreading disinformation.
He's drowning. He's drowning in time dilation.
Kofefe. That was also...
Yeah, do you think Trump's going to win this election? He's going to be Hillary.
I do.
He reset the clock.
I do feel like because the Oscars are so much like based around celebrity culture and celebrity worship, and that was something that kind of completely disintegrated this year, that seems longer ago to me. For some reason, specifically the Joaquin Phoenix speech, because that was like based around one celebrity and was an attention getting thing that I just seems irrelevant and weird now that we ever cared.
Celebrity culture definitely took a nosedive in this whole, you know,
pandemic. Well, it was easier to like lift celebrities up when you felt that there was still a chance you could also hit it big, whatever that weird myth, that dragon people, all of us to a certain extent chase in terms of what our vision is for what our, you know, our better future could be. And like when you get to a point where like your reality is so grim and you're feeling like, man, none of this shit matters. Like, you're hardly going to find comfort in someone who's like, check out my fucking wonderful privilege and wealth. Like, don't you guys like this? And you kind of start being like, what the fuck is this? Which is why I think with Parasite becoming, you know, best picture, it really did kind of, this has been like a theme throughout the year, like increased class consciousness, is, you know, although it's very at a glacial pace.
Yeah, it's definitely
seems to be a theme.
I have both of those things in my sort of underrated stories of the year is the dissolution of celebrity. Like, looking at magazine stories about celebrities now, or even like late night show interviews with like celebrities at home, it just feels like there's an added layer. Like, I was never super into those things, so maybe I'm talking out of my ass, but like, it feels like there's an added layer of like dissonance to it and irrelevance, like that. Why do we want to hear from? Sorry to keep bagging on Joaquin, but just any profile of a famous person, I just feel like it doesn't matter anymore. And then also like with the corporate media, I feel like the whole early days of COVID, where all the ads were like, now that we're all in this together.
Well, more than ever in these times.
Like, that also felt like a turning point to me in terms of, like, how we think about corporate culture. Like, I think we were already trending in that direction, but...
Yeah, the collective earth was like, fuck off! Yeah. Like, no one... Everyone's like, this is such heavy-handed bullshit.
Yeah, because they all went to do the same exact move, and that move was to emphasize an empathy and a humanity that just isn't there. And it like transparently isn't there at the core of corporate values. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like I remember after 9/11, like all American media became like a truck commercial for like 5 years. And like that worked because it was like jumping on the whole, you know, America jingoistic bullshit. But like, I feel like this was because of the time that it came at, and because of, I think there's also a sense in which, like, because we were all like, you know, 20 to 80% more depressed than usual. I've talked before about the study that says people who are depressed actually like are better at perceiving reality sometimes in some cases, or at least have like a more realistic and less like gauzy view of things. And like, I feel like the way we started viewing celebrity culture and corporate media culture and, you know, marketing, like both felt like we had the scales removed from our eyes.
Yeah. We've all been celeb pilled.
Yeah. A little bit. Up.
Well, cause I think now it ushered in the era of like, before, celebrities were just abstractions. Like there's like ghosts who like did fun shit on social media and you didn't really care much about like their personal lives. It was more like the thing you'd scroll and be like, wow, they go to here and travel here and eat this and buy this. And when we start bringing it down to the level of like, wait, we're all humans. And now these people are showing me what their lived like human experiences. And now it's people are being more comparative, like in the critical sense, not the comparative way where they're like, I don't have that. I want that. And now right. I'll be better. I will strive for that based on this, you know, mirage I'm feeding myself through the TV and screens or whatever. That now it's gone completely different. And now the comparison's like, man, fuck this person. Like, you're like, what the fuck? They're going where? Right now? Do they know what the fuck is going on? They're like, I'm out here like fucking, I'm splitting Wi-Fi with five different apartments trying to just like minimize bills collectively with other people. And then these people are like being like, hey, we flew everybody out to this secret location or this rooftop party or this blah, 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 blah. And I think that's really now where it's less of like solidarity and more just like, it's now we're starting to see the divisions between even fans and like the celebrities, I guess.
Yeah, that Imagine video and the Madonna video for the very small portion of the world that is on social media and cares about Madonna. But like that was wild when she was, because what she said was true. She was like, this just proves we're all in it together. But she was saying it from a bathtub filled with rose petals being shot by like an entire production team that she was endangering by having there. And it just like those felt like such crystallizations of everything
that kind of. And like you're saying that the appearances were like, oh, this where you're at your house and everyone be like, is that a fucking resort, like, or is that like some palace? And I, you know, I like knowing people who work in late night, there were like producers and other people, camera people, were having to be more conscious of how they were framing these homes, because they were like, it's not a great look to like walk around this person's palatial estate right now.
Why don't we set up the shot on my veranda?
Yeah, like I can do it in the the servants' quarters, and it'll look more like lo-fi. Yeah. But yeah, like it really is those, you know, seeing this kind of opulence too at a time when people are experiencing like the polar opposite, I think helped, you know, people get slightly out of it. Not everyone though, because you still see people in those mentions like or comments who are like fighting on their behalf.
Yeah. And
like, leave Kim alone. If she wanted to have a hologram birthday with her dad, it's okay. I still love you, Kim. And then people are like, so many people now are like, yo, you're a fucking weirdo, bro. Get off of here.
And also like feeling sorry for them, like that that they've built their you know, group consciousness around being a fan of a celebrity who doesn't know they exist. Anna, you were pointing out something that's kind of vaguely related as your story of the year.
Yeah, I mean, my story of the year, I think it happened at the beginning of the year, was that Ellen caught COVID.
Really defined the year.
It explains her new hair. She was trying to hide the fact that she's had COVID for a year. I'm just joking. That was a choice, though. That hair was a choice. No, I think that really defines the year. I mean, like, we've just been watching this celebrity gaslight us. I don't even know, but like attempt to gaslight us in a way where we're like, okay, we can see you. You know what I mean? Like, we know what you did, and now you're blaming everyone else. Very strange year for her, where she got called out. It didn't affect anything, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know how it hit her in any way. And then she kept doing Ellen, and she caught COVID. because I'm sure she still lives in a bit of a place of like, who, me? No.
You think she's having an inquisition as to which poor person gave it to her?
Right.
Oh, there's a chance.
Like, I can't imagine Ellen DeGeneres taking this in stride.
She is hiding thermometers in all her help's butts, okay, as we speak.
They're surgically implanted when you accept employment, and they are constantly updated. Your rectal temperature
is lined up like a flag ceremony
available to me on my app.
I just know someone is being tortured because of this. And it's, you know,
tortured with matchsticks in hidden places.
Yeah.
Other stories that I think had sort of an outsized, I don't know, I guess could be seen as overrated because they were just like, blew up when they happened and then didn't ultimately matter that much. Trump going to get impeached, Trump getting impeached, and Trump testing positive for COVID both felt like the biggest news in the history of the world when they happened. And then just nothing happened because I think we could have known heading in. Like, this is where Trump derangement syndrome, I think, is real, that we were, like, so desperate for a win, so just, like, beaten down by the day-to-day, just, like, flagrant disrespect for progress and, you know, our values that this guy put out there. And so, like, on his impeachment, there, I think there was just a lot of hope there where there probably shouldn't have been, because we knew what Mitch McConnell was going to do. Mm-hmm. And when he tested positive for COVID, that felt like a defining moment on social media at the time, and then just kind of went away.
Yeah, it's a weird one, right? Because so much of that tone is set by the mainstream media, you know,
right?
And even for us, like, we look at what media is out there and we choose to talk about whatever things. And, like, a lot of times that's what's being served. And when you really kind of take a step back and you think about MSNBC and CNN and shit, their whole thing was like, yo, we're doing fucking numbers when the thing coming out of this TV is some sexy fucking conflict impeachment, not the fucking death of working people and, like, how we can do better. And it's given them a convenient counter programming or alternative programming to discuss that, when, like, the reality of the country was definitely one other thing. And the COVID diagnosis very conveniently wiped out from people's memory Trump's famous stand back and stand by line,
right?
Fire up white nationalists. That story fucking vanished the second he had COVID, because the media was too having so much fun being like, yeah, this thing, blah, blah, blah. And we were guilty of that shit, too, because we're like, oh, look, fucking karma came for this fool. And you love to see it. But at the same time, we were also sort of like spending the time like, he just had a rallying cry to all these extremists on national television. And you see, too, like, where, how even now, like, how they're going to play it. Like, are we going to keep who's going to keep focusing on Trump? And or is MSNBC just going to keep going like, oh, isn't it so cool that we have, like, a woke head of ICE now? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, no, like, we've been talking about, you guys were all in on talking about how fucked up these things are when Trump was in office. But what happens now when you got Joe Biden in? Like, what kind of energy are they going to have for any kind of, like, lobbyists entering the cabinet or high, you know, high powered decision making positions? Not sure.
Yeah.
I will say, though, in regards to the Trump getting COVID, I do feel like we all really, really needed that, like, you're not the father moment, you know, like, needed to be like dancing.
Like, I definitely think it was like a big and significant moment. I just think it wasn't what we thought it was at the time, I guess.
Were doing those Ghanaian pallbearer memes and shit. Yeah. It was lit, but
like,
I was
doing donuts in the parking lot with my car. You know, that's true.
You were hanging out that motherfucker too.
I was. Like, Beyonce.
Those open, man.
Yeah, like, I was living my life. I ghost rode the whip. Like, mm-hmm.
Getting your thizz on.
And, I was maybe like 24 hours full of joy before I realized, oh, this is going to not do anything. He'll survive it and we're fucked. But it was still like that fucking 2 hours of pleasure.
Mm.
I got maybe a year's worth of serotonin off that.
I think it is slightly underrated what that did for our psyches. yeah. on a certain level. Because I mean, people are like, yo, what? I remember, I forget who sent it through our text thread. And you're like, yo, Trump has COVID. I was like, hey! That has not happened all year. I think aside from the Lakers winning, that was like the closest I came. And the FA Cup for Arsenal.
I feel like it was the peak drunk on the dopamine hit treadmill that social media put us on with this president. It was like we were just fully off that energy.
It really, like, my old Persian immigrant mother, like, devout Muslim woman, sent me a photo of Alec Baldwin as Trump chugging bleach. Like, my mom, who's, like, so, like, I don't make fun of death, like, is like, like,
I
that
don't
woman.
Deal in memes.
Yeah, like, she doesn't, she's always like, pray for everyone. Even right. she was like, look at this fool about to chug bleach. Like, that's... I mean, it hit.
She's
hard.
Over here asking you. She's like, "I'm trying to make a wild ass video. How do I rotoscope this shit in Adobe?" And you're like, "What? Rotoscope? You're editing video now?" She's like, "This meme's gonna be lit."
Yeah,
sorry.
You got to see this.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll come back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. And just getting off of the Trump subject for a moment, because he did fully dominate the year. But one thing that was kind of became a big thing for a couple weeks, I feel like, was the invasion of the Japanese murder hornets.
You had me for a second until you said hornet. I was like, the invasion of the Japanese? Like, what the fuck? Hornets? Oh, right.
I don't know. Like, I think our brain was in alarm mode because we're living through a global pandemic. So we're like locked into threats and just on high alert. And then this story comes across and it's an amazing like creature for sure. But it's also a like media panic that we've had like for decades now with like African killer bees and I don't know, and sharks. It's like maybe we just agree that anything to do with bees, hornets, and sharks, we just assume it's an overblown local news story until it's actually physically attacking us.
Right. There's something about it, I think, because we all have like that fear of being stung by bees as a kid. So like that is just, that will always be inbuilt. We're like, whoa, murder? What? The fucking what? Huh? Right. So it plays on that very, very well. But you know, people who have been on the internet, we've known about these murder hornets. Okay,
yeah, bro.
That video was popping on the internet like years ago. What was it like? Murder hornets versus bees? Like that video, they just come through the hive and they're like, yo, we're fucking breaking y'all in half with our fucking pincers. And I was like, this is tight and I don't want it anywhere near me. But
you know, one of our first super popular Cracked articles was one of the list items was murder hornets and how many people they kill. And that video, just based around that video is legendary, iconic.
And I think for most people, I think the people who probably resonated with are the ones who saw the, like, because when I was like, yo, I know about that. It's not just a weird name. I've seen this thing and they fuck bees up like they're little, you know, Cheeto Puffs. This is not a game, but, you know, whatever.
May I ask, did they just go away? Like, what happened?
I think the story in the first place was that one of them had been spotted. Like, literally, it was like one was found or,
That their existence had been detected on our lands.
And by go away, I mean, did they buzz off?
Hey. All right. And that's our show, folks.
Playing a little hive and seek, maybe. it does seem that the honeybees are using poop now to ward off the murder hornets. That's the new, latest headline I've read.
Same, hell dude. Yeah. Take a note out of that book.
I mean, look, out of Steve Bannon's book, bro. Flood the zone with shit.
Zone with shit, baby.
Works, I guess, in fighting murder hornets too for the bees. So
Bannon's
maybe some wisdom in that.
The beehive.
Yeah,
Bannon's got his own. All right, what else? What else was overrated this year? I said right before the world went into lockdown that we could use a global snow day.
Yeah, I remember that shit.
Yeah, nailed it. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Swish,
you're
swish,
welcome.
Bish.
Swish, swish. That was all-time bad take.
But, you know, I would love for someone to hold you responsible for COVID because you said on a podcast that humanity needed a second because capitalism was crushing everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, those are all still true now, no matter
I still
what.
Get some tweets every once in a while, people being like, hey, you still think we could use that global snow day, bro?
But also shout out to those people, like, do y'all think Jack could say something that would change this now?
Yeah,
I could, but you know,
I think the country needs to get back to work. That's just my two cents.
I also feel like this is a very half-baked take, but a lot of the just people being like, kids are missing an entire year of school and like kids think it's, I'm a little bit worried about how the pandemic's affecting one of my kids because he like washes his hands many, many times and also asks why people aren't wearing masks in movies. But like kids are super resilient, I feel like, and it's the parents and the older people who are failing to hold it together in a lot of respects. So I don't know. I guess it remains to be seen how this is going to impact things over the long term. But I do have faith in like the plasticity of, you know, the minds of the youngest among us.
Yeah, I mean, biologically, I think there's that, but then like also just the inequities between the students of this country are also being just on full display. Like on one hand, so many kids who aren't going to be like, who can't log in to go to school. And like the percentages are so high based on like what your parents' income is, like how likely you are to actually perform in online learning. So yeah, it's freaky. Like, I don't know if like we're gonna be like, yo, those are those kids that missed sixth grade, you know, like 20 years from now.
Right.
But I am very curious to see, because I think even with like younger children in my family too, I look at them like, damn, it's weird because we couldn't begin to know, we have no context for anything like this. You know, right, like from exactly. our upbringings, like we got out of academia like damn near 15 years ago. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. On one side, I'm like, I would be loving it if I was a kid. But that was probably the first week. And now you're like, yourself. This is fun.
I'm 21. Okay. But I do think that it's.
Yeah. What's going on with the kids, Anna?
I'm curious. Oh, let me tell you. So like tick tock, baby. No. Okay. I will say I do wonder when I will stop being like, oh, when I see someone too close to someone else in a movie these days. I like have genuine like, oh, why would you sit on a bench next to that person? Yeah, but it's like clearly in a different, you know, like it's in a different universe. So it's like, but I no matter what, I'm like, oh, she just kissed him.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's really interesting to look back at how, because this has been a somewhat similar experience to the 1918 pandemic, mm-hmm. and including like the government just being like, fight through it. It's we've been that country. But like people, it's really weird how people who grew up in that like don't really write about it that much. Like there are news articles, but it doesn't really like influence that many novels. And like, I think it's underrated how little we know about like what the cultural legacy of COVID is going to be. It might be less like movies specifically about plague and pandemic and more, you know, I think one underrated thing is like how it's affected just like mental health, you know,
and awareness around it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how that'll go. Or maybe they'll just ignore it like it never happened.
That's what they did with 1918.
Yeah.
Right.
They're like, don't talk about that. I don't make it hot now and bring up facts. I think, you know, it's probably like the knock-on effects of the roaring 20s happening after the pandemic or influenza pandemic.
Right.
Like, I have a feeling we're going to just see it more in what our values are and like, what we even define as living. I think that's going to be the real interesting piece of like how it changes our perceptions on like the definitions or like accepted norms around such things. Like, are we going to embrace our own interests more and be like, fuck it, man, life's too precious to me for fucking this stuff. I have to really live my life. Or are people going to be more restrained, more scared, more reckless? That's the thing that will be interesting to see how we come out the other side.
Yeah. I think there's a, like kind of in line with that, there is a underrating of the progress, you know, very painful progress that was made in 2020 at the level of like, you know, grassroots, like people on the streets doing things with Black Lives Matter, with the Sanders campaign having more success than any like socialist campaign in the history of the country. And all of those things are being written off by the mainstream media as, you know, Black Lives Matter almost cost the Democrats the election and like they need to change their branding around defund the police. And the Sanders campaign, like you really like can't find anybody even talking about like that as a success at this point. Like mm-hmm. you can't even find anybody like remarking on it. It's just like it went into a memory hole that we're just not reflecting on. And I think, you know, the like what you were talking about, the roaring 20s, like I think there is the possibility that, you know, progress is being made in a painful way and it's happening in response to the right leaning like government and media apparatus running the fucking train into the ground. But, you know, that is what happened in the 30s. And that was when we finally had like some social change and the New Deal. But I it'll be interesting to see how what the response is here, because they had, I feel like, stronger institutions and better media, and there's a chance this will just keep getting worse and forcing progress slowly by slowly.
Yeah. It's interesting to even look. I was looking at the Google Trends for the year, and under the category how to help Black Lives Matter was second to how to help Australia fires in this country.
Mm. Wow.
And I think that's very indicative overall of like where we're at, like just through search traffic. There was more interest around, you know, the fires, which obviously were a terrible thing that occurred. But, you know, dealing with the perceptions of systemic racism in this country, knowing that it's like, well,
right.
Maybe the Australian fires are a little bit more dire.
But I think that's another thing that's underrated to me, is I just feel like there's, I'm hoping that we can have more of a discourse around like that we've sort of lost our sense of humanity in this country.
Yeah.
And I know it's out of self-preservation. I mean, you can only look at catastrophic loss of life on a daily basis and have to begin to compartmentalize to be able to move through your day. But there's something like, there's really an illness in this country of our inability to look after each other. And while many people are able to do that on a human to human level, so much of what's happening is being dictated by people who really are, do not embody that feeling, or are so disconnected from their sense of duty to another person, that it's only just magnifying the imbalance in the country. And it's something like I wish more people would be able to talk about as like a really big fucking hole in our national identity.
I think we're, that's where like there's a lot of like cults and obsession with cults, and watching people who got into cults and then like, you know, Trump forming his own death cult. Like, I think we're seeing, like, because we're, as a culture and as a country, you know, deprived of being able to identify with our fellow humans and group, not just activities like in person, but just, I think it's been happening for a long time. We're so individualistic in America, and like the way we're getting our group identification out is like in these really unhealthy ways. I think we're going to talk about that and trends a little bit more. Let's take one more break and then we'll come back and close this thing out.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back, and DJ Danil, What is something that you think was underrated from this year? A story that you feel like?
Well, so just we were talking about the beginning of the year. Basically, this is kind of, you know, attaching to the Australia wildfires as well. But we had the assassination of that Iranian general Soleimani. It was like that really seemed like a trigger on the end of the year, on the end of the Trump campaign or the Trump presidential era, where he was like, I'm going all out, baby. Like, this is I'm flexing my presidential muscle right here and being like this, you know, the strong president and doing this thing where people were like, you are about to literally start a conflict in the world. You're about to start another world conflict right here. And that also kind of just, you know, went away. I feel like I think there's been like small responses, of course, but overall, it felt like that was just came and went.
Yeah. Well, because the zone gets flooded with shit, you know, and that's the hard bit. And it's funny because like on one level, you could have the Democratic leadership or media like really stay focused on certain things like, yo, this other shit's bullshit. We need to talk about this thing. But everyone sort of at the, you know, kind of goes with like the trend flow at times. And yeah, like we get these moments where we're like,
I would say it, maybe the Soleimani stuff went for us, but I'll tell you, honey, it did not go for Iran. I would be keeping our eyes peeled.
Oh, Iran is still like, the official stance of Iran is, we have not avenged his death.
Yes,
FY
exactly.
Fucking I.
So,
just
so
you're
like,
biding their
what
time.
What was that?
I think they're actually hoping, they're probably hoping that the rest of the country feels the way I just described, being like that thing.
I think we'll truly find out how they feel when Biden tries to reset up kind of like a nuclear plan again. I think things will it will start to be like, well, you did murder that guy, so this is kind of what we want in return. I think they will play it kind of strategically because, hey man, we're Persian.
So which one of your guys do we get to murder?
All right, can you give us a list, like a punch card or something? It's like, what?
And then the only other thing I had on my list that felt, I don't know, like it doesn't feel like it happened in a different year, but it does feel like it was the end of a story that we'd been tracking, and like the first step in a movement is the Weinstein verdict, and the fact that, you know, he's gonna die in jail now, hopefully. But in a world that felt like it was just bad news for progress over and over again, this was like a good news story that we, you know, we're in the middle of bad news too much to fully, I feel like, embrace. What were you gonna say, Anna?
Oh no, I was just saying bears every time you said bad news.
Mm-hmm. Walter Matthau.
Bad news bears, you guys. Harvey Weinstein was bad news bears.
No, I mean, every time someone says bad news, you gotta drop bears.
Bears, right. Walter Matthau. But yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, it's nice to see that there's those sea changes we were feeling occurring years ago are like continuing. Although, like, you know, then like you saw all the controversy with how the money was being spent within Time's Up and that organization. And they're like, oh, y'all were just throwing money away and not really getting a lot of the better shit done that you could have. But I think that's like any organization that finds itself flush with cash and, you know, not a great leadership structure at time to time. You know, shit gets a little wacky.
Yeah.
As in, even with Black Lives Matter now, like so many of the local chapters are now like complaining to the like sort of main office to be like, where's the transparency? What is going on? Who are you? What are we? What's going on here? So, you know.
Yeah.
The saga continues.
I guess one other thing that I feel like has degraded or changed, and we're going to see it more and more in the next year, is like the Trump administration created like a new mainstream media that was like all focused on Trump and all focused on, you know, I don't know. It was just, we started relying on social media and the promise of the premise of social media. And then those all got turned into surveillance ad firms. And then the mainstream media is less in touch with the humans it's supposed to serve than ever before. And now we have this insulated, like gentry class mainstream media who can't think outside of their bubble of like college educated liberal arts graduates and TED Talk circuit.
Or who come from like generational wealth. Like I know people who are on MSNBC.
Yeah.
And they didn't grow up rough. They went to very expensive schools in this city. And do not, I mean, as much as like I know they are connected with the real like plight of working human beings, there is just something of like the origin stories of a lot of the people that are dictating our policies and our media coverage that has so disconnected from that part of it. And we're getting fed like this fed back this weird version of the country that is very strange and not really real for most people.
Yeah. So I don't, there's going to have to be a reckoning there because we're, you know, entering a new world where the world is not just fully has its head in the toilet of the Trump administration and is, you know, able to actually look a little bit more clear-headed at the problems and how we're covering them. And
yeah, because MSNBC, kind of I don't know what, like, everyone was doing well from just a arcane, barbaric ratings perspective. You know, not like what good they were doing, but how many people were watching. And everyone had their version, whether it's Fox News as, you know, leading the charge against Obama or being Trump's cheerleader or MSNBC. They really found their place in CNN of being like, we are the resistance, quote unquote, and this is where you're going to get it. Without that, I'm not sure, you know, what the programming is going to look like. Because if they insist on going with Trump, like, come the fuck on. Like, this is, it's not doing anything. And you'd hope, I mean, I don't know how much it's going to happen, but you'd see there'd be a lot of opportunities for the media to have very objective criticisms of this presidency, upcoming administration, and be able to voice those in a responsible way to people, being like, you know, we can do better than having, like, literal manifestations of Raytheon dictate our defense policy. We can do better than people coming from like the cesspit of old school agribusiness heading up the USDA. You know, there's a lot of these things where we could have change, but you'd hope, like, you know, they were very willing to talk about that when the shoe was on the other foot. But I'm, you know, you'd hope, I don't know, but Rachel Maddow's openings are probably less sexy when she's not talking about, like, you know, whatever the scandal du jour is versus like, we're failing the entire country. Our leaders are failing us. Right. I'm trying to lead as a journalist to report on how awful the lived experience is of many people. Yeah.
All right. Anything else anybody wants to cover before we bid adieu to listeners?
Let's bid adieu.
Bid adieu.
I bid a dude once.
We out.
All right, guys. That is going to do it for this special year-end holiday issue. We are back tomorrow with another one of these where we're going to be looking at the streaming content we knew and loved. And we're going to talk to y'all then. Have a good day. and we will talk to y'all then.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.